We're here with Dahugeidodde and from the Mohawk Nation. This is the Dashunka Wetko Brigade, and we want to update everybody in the continent and the world on what is happening in the what is now called the New Caledonia region in Canada. I first would like to hear from you your name with the correct pronunciation, your nation, and your clan, please.
I'm Dahugeidodde, Bear Clan, Mohawk Nation, Iroquois Confederacy.
If you can give us just a little bit of a background on the conflict right now.
Well, it's about 3 months now, I think 90 days. About 90 days or 3 months, we've reclaimed a site that the Ontario government's been selling our land off illegally. And we've had enough. I mean, we don't have enough room anymore. We've got 25,000 people at Six Nations. They've encroached on 95% of the Haldimand Tract, and that's what this is all about. And so we're just saying enough's enough. We're taking back all of our land, like all the Haldimand Tract.
Where is the Haldimand Tract?
Well, it runs along the Grand River from Lake Erie to its source. I actually live right now up near the source, which is about 180 miles. I think when we originally came and surveyed it, you know, back in the late 1700s, it was a 12-day canoe ride from Lake Erie up to the source. So, but I think it's now about 180 miles long, something like that. 6 miles on either side of the Grand River from source to Lake Erie. Apparently the British were going to protect that tract of land forever for us and our posterity. And that's what they said. So this is a British claim, not our claim. We claim all of Ontario by right of conquest over the Huron in 1649. And as per the Nanfan Treaty of 1701, which made the English our allies and allowed them into Ontario. So that's how they ended up here. Somehow they weaseled the Dutch colony off the Dutch, which was New York, and then from there they came with us up to here.
So basically it's more broken treaties from the colonialists.
Absolutely. Have they ever honored one of them? That's my question. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. We're joined here by my co-host, Wambli Watakpe. He's a warrior of the Lakota Nation and the Western Shoshone Nations. And he will also have some more questions for you.
Oh, brother.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm wondering how you guys are doing up there.
Well, you know, it's turning out really good. I mean, every day that we were all worried about another raid, it all turned out good. And the other day with that judge, it was a good day for us. We, you know, another victory where the judge is like, well, you know, he really can't do anything because he has no jurisdiction. It's not legal of him to come in and do anything to us. So another victory for us. I would say we're getting these small victories, and they're turning out to be pretty huge. I think this whole thing is going to be the big one. The Iroquois finally standing up and taking back Ontario, you know. No one ever beat us in any war. We never ceded one inch of our land or our sovereignty or any of it. So it's all just been, you know, a lot of illegalities, if you will.
You're gaining a lot of support internationally. One of the groups that sent a letter of resolution in support from Canada was the Canadian Islamic Council.
Yes.
Can you talk about that and other groups that have supported this on an international level?
I would have to say the Palestinians probably were behind that. They've been out at most of our rallies, and they're going through the same stuff we are, encroachment, which is not legal in international law. You can't just encroach on people's land and say it's yours. It's not legal. So they're going through the same thing with encroachment in Palestine from Israel. So they've been, like, absolutely, you know, out to every one of the rallies and showing some great support. I'm sure they had something to do with that letter from, I haven't seen that one from the Islamic Association. I apologize. But we've gotten letters from Buzz Hargrove. It's the largest public workers union in Canada. And a lot of the unions are showing support because, you know what? We're saying to Canada, no, we need an independent third-party mediator, has no interest in any side's outcome, and is acceptable to both parties. Now, that's standard union practice, mm-hmm. you know. So, I mean, the unions are behind us, which is huge. You know, Harper, what an idiot he is, the PM here, he has not even made a statement on it. He always says, oh, it's the Ontario Provincial Police problem. And the police, they said in court the other day, no, we've done our job. It's now up to the politicians. So it's all passing the ball back and forth. They're caught with their pants down, and they don't like it. You know, time to pay up. I mean, just the trust fund that they owe us, I think someone did some calculations. They owe us $250 million interest on our trust fund that they've stolen off us. And at 1% interest, they owe us $250 million just for that, you know, for 200 years of that.
Have you asked any international entity or government to be a mediator?
I have asked personally. I tried to get a hold of the Dutch ambassador, and he never returned any of my correspondence, so I just assumed that, because they were our oldest and first, probably the best ally that Europe ever offered us. You know, they were out of New York, I think, in 1670 or something, Treaty of Breda, Britain took over New York, but they were our oldest and our best ally. So, you know, I sent him a few correspondences, called, said, you know, we would like it if you would be the mediator, because I'm sure you'd be acceptable to Canada and to us. But now he never even returned any of my calls anyways. So we've asked, you know, we have a lot of people working on this, so I can only say what I've worked on truly.
Yeah, I understand that most of your decisions or all of your decisions are made collectively. But do you think somebody like the Venezuelan government, that is actually probably one of the few governments that is doing something officially for the indigenous people, would be considered?
Absolutely. Personally, myself, I visited Venezuela, I think, 7 or 8 times.
Wow.
I actually worked down there for 6 months.
Oh.
So I know the people and their government. Well, I don't know any government people now, but I know them to be, yeah, they would be absolutely acceptable, probably to Canada and to us as well.
Oh, that might be something to bring to the table then, huh?
Well, yeah, we need someone really to stand up in the international community and say, yes, we'll be the mediator. We've asked everyone. Like, I mean, we're out there. I mean, if you do, I did a web search just on my name, and there was like 16 pages show up with my name and my address. I'm thinking, oh, my God. You know, that's just my name. So, you know, I mean, we've been getting our stuff out there thanks to the Internet. Otherwise, we'd all be dead by now.
Yeah.
You know, like at Gustafson Lake in 1995, they fired 77,000 rounds of ammunition at the Native protesters. 77,000 rounds at peaceful protesters. So, I mean, we've been through all this before. You know, Iberwash, where Dudley George got killed, I don't know how, they haven't come up with how many rounds there, but probably 50,000. I mean, this is a bad act Canada's had going for a while now, and the rest of the world's finally catching on to their bad act. Because really, that's what it is, all illegal and a bad act.
A few days ago, we got an update from Mohawk Nation's News expecting an army raid. What happened with that?
Well, it never happened. You know, I work with Mohawk Nation News, so we like to get our news out there and predict what they're going to do, you know, just based on their past battle plan, if you will. And we've been hitting it right on the head. I mean, we put it out one day they were going to come in at 2 o'clock. So we put it out at 1 o'clock that the OPP are set to attack the Iroquois at 2 o'clock today. Well, you know, because we got it out there to 10,000 people on the net, who got it out there to another 100,000, they never showed up. So the same thing with the Army showing up the other day. We were just thinking, yeah, because that was all the threats and all their bad act that we've seen before. We know all their plays. They try to make everything seem legal and everything, but we know it. So anyways, we called their play on that one, and I guess they never showed up on that one either. So we're happy about that. Like I say, good thing for the Internet, because they have no control over that.
Yeah.
They control all the other media on the planet.
Yeah, I was wondering if we could switch gears for just a second. In the face of the U.S. and issue with other indigenous peoples in the South in terms of what they are calling border protection, the Iroquois, the Six Nations, erects an indigenous border against the probably it could be argued that the European, American, and Canadian people are the first illegal immigrants. Do you plan, first of all, to keep up the border and the status of what's going on at what I'll call the borders? And could you comment on this whole immigration issue in the face of dealing
from
with...
From our perspective?
Yeah, from the... In which you're dealing with the U.S. and the Canadian governments.
Well, you know, the whole border issue, you know, they put a line, an imaginary line, right through our territory and called one side Canada, one side the United States. But the Treaty of Paris of 1782, which is absolutely illegal, was a Mason deal. The French Masons, you know, slapping their English Mason cousins and giving their Scottish Mason brothers America. And you know, the whole thing is a joke. We've never recognized that imaginary border. But they're starting to really, now with their 9/11 stuff, they're starting to pretend like they can take away our rights. I mean, that border does not exist for us. We live right on it. I mean, we always have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it was us who got every one of the other natives all that border crossing thing. Because, you know, we were right in the heat of it all. And, you know, we're on both sides of your imaginary line. So it's because of us that everyone else got... You know, that just became law, you know. The natives don't have no borders.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my ancestral homeland's in the lower Mohawk Castle, you know, down near Albany on the Mohawk River. That's where I originally come from. And 1777 was our last year there. You know, my grandfather spent 7 years and grandmother spent 7 years in living in tents in Lachine. Finally ended up at Tyendinega. And, yeah, it's all illegal, the whole creation of Canada and the United States. Absolutely illegal, according to us.
Do you plan to keep up the, the media, the mainstream media is calling them barricades, but I see them more as indigenous borders. Do you plan to keep those in place?
Absolutely. They're not coming down. We're never leaving. So just a little part of the stolen million acres that they stole off us here. It's all part of their plan. Encroachment, encroachment, encroachment. Let the settlers deal with the Indian problem. That was what Duncan Campbell Scott in 1924 designed for the Indian solution. The final solution, he called it. Funny how Hitler called his the final solution. He learned it from Duncan Campbell Scott. You know, we had, instead of concentration camps, they called them residential schools. But 50% of our children who attended died. And so 50,000 Native children perished in those residential schools, called them what they were, death camps.
Yeah.
And then Hitler learned from the Canadian model, oh, this is how you deal with your, the same way they're dealing with their Indian problem, we deal with our Jewish problem. And he just took it a step further and just added gas chambers and stuff.
Not too recent, but there was some interviews conducted by independent journalists interviewing people from Caledonia. I was wondering if the Six Nations had a chance to interview people on the border to get out a counter, get their view of how things are from the indigenous side. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that. I've seen a lot of this anti stuff. That's not the real Caledonia residents, by the way. That is the instigators that are funded by Indian Affairs. You know, like they have a big, huge secret plan about all the Indians. You know, they're 80 years into their 100-year assimilation plan and right on target. So they don't like this. I mean, they have a 100-year plan to assimilate all natives, take the land illegally, and turn them all into taxpayers for Canada. It's not going to happen. We will never be Canadian. We have no treaty with Canada, and we never will have a treaty with Canada.
You don't have a treaty with any government, right? Is that
No, we have no treaty with any of them. We have no treaty we've never surrendered one inch of our sovereignty or our land, you know. And, you know, our land is extensive.
Yeah, I understand the Six Nations land and everything, and but some of the audience, maybe you could talk about that history a little bit, about the sovereignty of the Six Nations, and sort of go into some of the history behind it.
You know, in 1702, we were at Queen Anne's court with five Iroquois chiefs. She was showing us off to all the aristocracy of Europe as the Romans of the New World, because we just conquered the Huron. They no longer existed. And we just, 1701, France came to the Iroquois and said, okay, now we want peace with you, Iroquois. Oh, before they wanted 100-year wars with us, and that's what they got, 100-year war with the Iroquois. And then they finally made peace with us in 1701. Queen Anne had us come to London in 1702, and we agreed at that time with the Nanfan Treaty to split the Iroquois territory with them stewardship of Ushuenta, the Turo Wampum, which basically says, okay, down this river of life, we'll travel parallel. We'll stay with our beliefs and our customs in our canoe. You stay with your beliefs and your customs in your boat. We do not try to steer each other or we just travel parallel down the river of life until we get to the sea. And that's, you know, just a metaphor, if you will, but that's really what it's all about. It's brilliant. And so that's how we split Ontario with the British. So they just come in and just started, encroachment. But that's not legal, none of it. Encroachment is not legal in international law. So that's really what they've been trying to just put it over for generations, bringing tons of immigrants, teach them nothing about any of it, and then just throw it on the immigrants to fight the Indians. I guess that's their plan all along. I don't know. But it's not working because, you know, people are not as stupid as that.
In terms of the present negotiations, has the Turo Wampum agreement been...
talked about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, April 20th is when the cops raided OPP, and they broke the Turo. We signed the Turo Wampum Treaty as an alternative to war with Britain. And it definitely was not for our protection. It was for theirs. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, we were the Iroquois. We were the most powerful nation here when they got here. That's why France and England both made peace with us. And, you know, France made the mistake. Champlain attacked us in 1609. And, you know, if you attack us, it's war. And, you know, then 100 years later, King Louis finally wanted peace. But in 1640, he was saying, I will eradicate the Iroquois from the face of the earth. Well, how come it hasn't happened yet? And we'll still be here when Canada talks itself out of legality, like when it just talks itself right out of being a legal country, which it's doing now. We will still be here, as we have been for 10,000 years. We've been here all along. Our Confederacy is 3,600 years old. Predates our Constitution, which is the basis of the U.S. Constitution and the U.N. Charter, the Guyana-Rogoa, our great law of peace, is 3,600 years old. That is our Constitution. We're just following our Constitution. Canada's breaking their own Constitution, which is only 20 years old. So I can definitely say we're going to be here long after they're already fizzled out.
Yeah, in terms of conflicts that you've talked to, the colonial occupiers are using weapons. What has been a response from the Six Nations in terms of meeting those attacks?
Our greatest weapon is the truth, and so that has been our big stick. And we have not had anything but sticks and stones against their paramilitary force of thousands of cops and, you know, army and everything, helicopters, and yeah, we've got sticks and stones, but we have, our minds are together on this, and every one of those people there, they're all willing to die for this, and I think the police know that, and come kill us all, don't leave one of us though, because that's how we used to do war. You don't leave one, you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, I don't think they're going to do that, but hey, if they do, that's, you know, everything happens as it should.
And the response that you were talking about, the unity, could you spend some more time talking about the nation coming together on this?
Yeah, absolutely. But I went to a men's meeting, so here was an old-fashioned Iroquois meeting. We had our Mohawks over here, our Senecas over here, Onondaga here, Cayuga, Oneida, and Tuscarora. You know, the elder brothers, like they should, that's the Seneca and the Mohawks and the Onondaga, the fire keepers, the younger brothers of the Oneida and the Cayuga and the Tuscarora, and everyone's meeting like they should and just doing everything according to our great law. So, I mean, it was a proud day for me to see that absolute unity. That's what I'm saying. Like, Daganoweda, our peacemaker, when he came to this earth, he taught us three things. He said, I want to teach you the good message. I want to teach you the power, and I want to teach you the peace. The power is the unity of one mind, and I seen it there. And the peace is the Guyana Red Goa, the formula on how you make one nation out of five different nations, because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. We were five warring nations that turned into one nation with this message of peace. And the formula to how you run a government. And now the rest of the world's basing all their democracies on ours, which is the oldest and truest democracy on the planet.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you would... I remember meeting with some young Mohawk brothers out here in Washington back in the 70s. And we had they call it a spiritual camp, but they recited some of the great law of peace in their language. I was wondering if you could share with us maybe a little excerpt of in the sacred language of to give the audience a taste of this old tradition.
I really couldn't. I'm not qualified to do that.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you in English the great law, but like off by heart. I don't think there's many people that know it off by heart, but I know many of it, almost all of it off by heart.
Uh-huh.
Wampum number two. If any man or any nation should choose to follow the white roots of peace to their source, and they come to the, that will lead them to the Confederate Council, and if their minds are clean and they agree to obey the wishes of the Confederate chiefs, they are welcome to sit with us underneath the tree of the long leaves and follow the great peace. So that's our immigration laws, wampum number 2 of 117. That's how important it is. The last nation that came and joined our Confederacy was the Tuscarora in 1724.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're just waiting. I wonder who's going to be next.
Have you had, you were talking about the United Nations earlier, just to jump back to that international issue. Has there been any kind of communiques or emissaries sent to, like, say, Kofi Annan to have them? I know he's been talking a lot about the other struggles around the world. Do you know of any attempts to reach him and have him come out? And
Well, we had one of our women went out to Geneva and spoke before the UN there about our struggles here in the Six Nations. And then someone else got up at UN, I guess last week they had the Indigenous Forum or something, and someone else got up there and spoke about us. But, you know, are we going to hear anything from them? Probably not. And we're standing on our 2 feet legally, and the rest of the world is watching. And now, you know, the judge called in a kangaroo court the other day. He's ordering the federal Minister of Indian Affairs and the federal Attorney General to his court to explain to him, you know, like, why don't you just read the law? I mean, you're supposed to be a judge. You got no jurisdiction here, judge. You know, he's in a conflict of interest. He owns land on the Haldimand Tract. He should be removed from the whole thing. But anyways, just shows you, you know, the illegalities of Canada.
Back in the 70s, I was at Wounded Knee when the delegation from your nation came down, and we were under armed conflict then. And that was between the, you know, the Lakota Nation and the Six Nations. Have you had other tribes try to offer and come in, and what has been their...
Yes, absolutely. All across Turtle Island, people have, you know, they always say, what can we do? And, you know, we get so many emails in Mohawk Nation News, so I answer a lot of them, and I tell them all the same thing. I say, we ask you what we ask everyone else. Think with your heart, then you will do the right thing. And you know what? They have been. Everyone's been doing the right thing, whether it be just sending out, you know, letters of support to the right politicians, or whether it be, you know, talking on the radio like you are now, spreading our news out there, getting the rest of the world to wake up, you know. It's, you know, But, for example, when they did the April 20th raid, the cops, well, the Tyendinaga Mohawks blocked off the CN rail tracks that go from Toronto to Montreal.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's most of your business on rail in Canada, or in at least in this part. And so, you know, we just stopped out the trains. You're not moving any trains through this Tyendinaga territory. And but we just did it for a couple of days, and I said, okay, just to show you. And then out west, in Vancouver, they blocked the bridge out there in support of the Six Nations. And then the Canadian chief of AIM, I don't know what to call it, chapter of AIM. But anyways, he issued a yellow alert to all the warrior societies at Turtle Island that if one drop of Indian blood gets spilled by Canadian military, you know, they're going to shut down Canada, shut down their economy. And we can easily do that just by shutting every one of their roads and every one of their trains. And so, I mean, you know, like I say, everyone's doing what we're not telling anyone what to do. All we're saying is think with your hearts, and people are thinking with their hearts. When you think with your heart, then the memories of your forefathers will come to you. People don't understand that every one of your ancestors' memories are in your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is learn how to use your memory. Think with your heart, and that's going to happen.
Creator sent you here to dispose of us as you see fit. If I thought you were sent by the Creator, I might be induced to think you had a right to dispose of me. Do not misunderstand me, but understand me fully with reference to my affection for the land. I never said the land was mine to do with as I choose. The one who has a right to dispose of it is the one who has created it. I claim a right to live on my land and accord you the privilege to return to yours.
Hogedo Day del clan del oso de la nación Mohawk habla sobre el conflicto que empezó hace aproximadamente 3 meses. El gobierno provincial de Ontario vendió territorio Mohawk a una empresa de Estados Unidos. El pueblo Mohawk y de las 6 naciones está ocupando su tierra para prevenir su invasión. Lo que sigue es un resumen de su entrevista por parte de la Brigada Tashunkawetko. Y estas son sus palabras. Tenemos aproximadamente 25.000 habitantes y muy pocas tierras. El gobierno de Canadá se ha robado el 90% de nuestro territorio en el Haldimand Tract, que se extiende a lo largo del río Grand, aproximadamente 180 millas de largo y 6 millas en cada orilla del río. Y ya estamos cansados de este abuso. Hemos retomado todas nuestras tierras en esta región. Después del operativo policial del 20 de abril, hemos evadido otros operativos hasta ahora. También otra pequeña victoria
es que recientemente un juez provincial, quien tiene tierra en nuestro territorio, tuvo que admitir que no tiene jurisdicción sobre nosotros. El primer ministro de Canadá dice que la policía provincial debe resolver este asunto, y la policía provincial dice que ellos ya han hecho su trabajo y ahora le corresponde a los políticos. Hemos conseguido apoyo internacional que incluye al Congreso Islámico de Canadá y la comunidad palestina. Ellos entienden lo que estamos pasando porque es lo mismo que sufren ellos, la toma ilegal de sus tierras. También los sindicatos nos apoyan. Ellos entienden muy bien que la mediación es esencial para resolver conflictos. Necesitamos una entidad o un país fuera de este conflicto para que actúe como mediador. Hemos pedido al gobierno holandés y a las Naciones Unidas, pero no nos han respondido. Consideraríamos pedirle a Venezuela. Si no pudiéramos usar el Internet para hacer correr la voz sobre lo que está pasando, estaríamos todos muertos. Consideren la historia reciente de las acciones del gobierno canadiense contra los indígenas. Dispararon 70.000 balas contra una manifestación pacífica en el incidente del lago Gustafson en 1985 y en el incidente de Eeprewash, donde mataron a Dudley George, probablemente 50.000 balas. También aproximadamente 50.000 niños indígenas murieron en sus escuelas residenciales, más parecidas a campos de concentración que a escuelas. A pesar de las agresiones, estamos desarmados y seguimos fielmente nuestras leyes de paz. Nuestra mayor arma es la verdad. Nuestra ley, nuestra constitución, tiene 3.600 años de existencia, y la constitución canadiense solo 20 años. Nuestra confederación existirá mucho después de que desaparezca Canadá. Canadá y Estados Unidos fueron fundados ilegalmente en nuestras tierras. Estamos dispuestos a morir por esto. Tenemos unidad en las naciones de nuestra confederación y solidaridad de muchas otras naciones indígenas. Cuando nos preguntan cómo los ayudamos, siempre respondemos: piensen con el corazón y sabrán qué hacer.